All right, welcome back everybody to the Overdunk Podcast, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Lynx, joined as always by Bridget, but new in the house, not new to the channel by far. You see them at the charity tournament, both behind the scenes and in center stage during Jeopardy. We got Buzzer Bob. Welcome to the podcast, man. It feels like this has been a long time coming. We've been wanting to get you on the show, so I'm really happy you're joining us. How have you been, my friend?
Oh, I'm just happy to be here. Big fan of the podcast, everyone on it. And I know, Zoinks, you and I have DMs going all the way, you know, talking about, charity stuff, talking about Pocket, about just Unite things. So it's kind of a perfect storm just to come onto the show and just start sharing my love and passion about the games that we play every single day and talk about it. So I'm just happy to be here. This is great.
This is awesome. I'm so excited. Like, we've been talking to, we get a lot of commentators on this podcast. Right, that's just like the circles that I operate in oftentimes. Yeah. So just a lot of casters come on this show. We get some players and stuff like that. But I'm so excited, Bob. Like, you're a major content creator in the scene. You also work behind the scenes on some of the official broadcasts, which is really, really cool. So now we got somebody on the production line on the show.
Ooh, it's gonna be really fun. This is great.
Yeah, it's time to break all your NDAs. Really excited that you came here for this. This is huge.
This is the first year I really started doing, I would say, at the high level for the UCS, just doing behind the scenes. And I was in charge of doing mostly the replays for the NA events. So the NA streams that you're always a part of. I take full credit for this. Someone may correct me, but I think I started the whole slow-mo action at the raid fights with the replays. And the real-time doing the scrubbing of the replay. During the replay, I remember one time I did it backwards, and I think Spragles was doing the commentary. He goes, "Oh, yeah, backwards now? Oh, okay." And that was just me playing with the software, trying to break it. So, but I enjoy the spectacle of the production. I've talked to some people in Pokemon that hopefully I can come to the next big stage and be a part of that. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah, as a commentator, when you have any person on the production line, but specifically replays is really, really, when you have someone who, one, knows what they're doing, which you already have that in spades, you're a consummate professional, but when you have someone who just, like, knows the game and really likes the game, it is a world of difference when you are looking at a package or any kind of video piece that's presenting the game. It's like, oh, yeah, this player knows what to look at. I called you a player. This, you know, this spectator knows what to look at, what to be focusing on, and it makes a commentator's job just so much easier. And yeah, we do go crazy when we get new toys like a rewind feature or a slow-mo feature.
And I was trying to ask if we can get a teleprompter so we can start drawing on it. And I think the software we use, you can actually plug in a teleprompter and start drawing on stuff. And I tell a lot of people, like, because during those games, like, you have 10 minutes of action. Even when I see big plays happening, I'm actually editing in real time the replays. Right. So I'm also like, I see like a team fight happen. I have to edit it down to a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. I have two cameras that I'm looking at because, you know, we may have one view on a basement Reggie, then we have one view in like the mid central area. What? So I'm trying to like capture two different views, edit in real time. Then once the match ends, I put together the final package and I just push it to broadcast and you guys just commentate on it. And it's a lot of fun to see that you guys look at the replays. It excites me. It makes me happy.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I love like learning the process. I honestly had like no idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's like how the sausage gets made a little bit. That's really fun. Yeah.
Why do you have to say it like that?
It's a phrase. People say it. That's a thing people say.
Yeah. When the thing behind the scenes is like gross.
All right. Well, real dunkheads know what I'm talking about.
That's in like the special subscriber version of the podcast. We'd like you to know more about the sausage.
Oh, and the Patreon.
Yeah. The Patreon.
That can't be how we launch the Patreon. that phrase can't be it. Oh my goodness. Okay, we actually have one question in chat. I actually don't know if we can answer it, Bob, but I'll pose it to you anyways. But anybody else, if you want to ask Buzzer Bob questions, please use the Twitch chat. This is a great way to do that, and I'll keep throwing them at Bob as the episode goes along. But Bob, one person asked, how does the zooming out camera work in the matches? Because obviously that's endemic to the game a little bit. We've had a few new camera technologies emerge in the last year. We've had some cool flyover shots. Obviously, in the replay package, you've got to do some really fun, like, zoom out kind of stuff. I don't know if we could talk about that, but I just it is a pretty cool production tool. Up to you.
No, I think all I say is that because I was new to it just recently, and I know Pokemon is always trying to find new ways to present the game to players. Like I remember at Worlds when EUIC before the match, you had that nice little like swoop in of like the Thea Sky ruins, and Pokemon's doing that for the presentation and the flair of the game, which I think is great. So I don't have much to say. Is that I'm just given access to it, and I can use it if need be. And as you saw in the last in the April tournament, we had some nice wide shots during Rayquaza fight. So you actually see two different fights happening at the top and bottom of the Ray Pit, and because you see people it's because like I think as the casters, you may not see that initially, but then when you see the replay, you go, oh, that's where they were positioned during the whole time, and that's how they got caught out and got knocked out. It's a lot of fun. So I would say expect more innovation in the future because the game is still going strong, and I know Pokemon really wants to find ways to, you know, give the viewers that experience of a bigger grand event of what Unite is as a team sport. So I'm excited to see what comes next. I don't know anything, but I'm excited.
Premium gas. I love this. Like I can't wait. I'm excited to watch the next Unite tournament. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a good promo.
I like it a lot. But yeah, basically in terms of how those exact mechanics work, we can't talk too much about it, but it is really cool that obviously Pokemon is allowing us to invest some time into creating cool tools that enhance the viewing experience. I mean, even if we want to throw back to the last year, like the custom draft screen that we have at major events, right? Like, it's so cool. It uses the fun, like, graphics package that's at the ICs or Worlds. It has our stats that we track involved in it as well. I don't know. I just feel like it ups the viewing experience quite a bit. Lanez, I can answer this one too. Bob, I know you're not in charge of the B-roll Thea Sky Ruin landscape shots, but you were like kind of there during the process, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like in the background seeing how the sausage was being made.
Nice.
In a way.
I like that. Nice.
Yeah, you know, because like, I remember I posted a funny image on X where it showed the Magnemite in a good view of like with the holding the camera. I'm like, this is the real MVP production is the Magnemite just chilling with the camera feed. But yeah, things like that is very special to these broadcasts because you may not see it when you play the game just like on the comfort of your own home, but when you watch a broadcast, when you have the great talent like Zoinks here, it just amplifies the excitement of commentating a match as a viewer, seeing different angles and getting more information in real time, like what's happening, just the field view of everything going on. So I'm all for that. And to your point, Zorings, I love seeing new overlay graphics. I wish we could do more of those on those remote streams in the future where we have the graphics coming up, maybe some fun facts popping up like percentages that we can do in real time from production. Ooh. I know sometimes I think they've done that at the bigger events saying, oh yeah, there's a chance that, you know, Zoinks may have a marble in his hand. I don't know. Something
like
that.
Like lower thirds and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The lower thirds.
You know what? That reminds me, Bob, this is my public apology, by the way. Buzzer Bob I at EUIC had a live recorded interview piece that we had right in front of the stage while there was a match happening on going on in the background and everything. And I guess we lost it. I don't know what happened. We got it recorded, everything. It was a fun interview. Bob was able to, you know, talk about how exciting the event was and all the teams competing. You made a prediction. I think unfortunately it didn't work, but hey, no one knows because the video wasn't, so I don't know what happened.
Oh, you know what it was? So I have an idea. I'm not going to try to spread speculation here, but
okay.
I remember during the interview, I think you asked me, hey, who do you think you see going far in the tournament and winning it all? Uh-huh. And at that point, I was like, I was a BH3 believer.
Let's go.
I'm like, hey, this is the home crowd. We're going to go for it. And it was that match they were playing behind us that they lost the set. I go, well, they're probably not going to show it now because Bob was wrong about BH3 going to like day two.
We just lied and said the interview was yesterday.
I feel a little bad.
Who knows?
Yeah, I feel a little bad. But maybe I'm just putting it out there. I will be at Worlds, so maybe we should do a part two, possibly.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay. There you Sounds go. Good.
Yeah.
All right, cameraman, find Buzzer Bob at Worlds. That's a good question. Okay, Bob, just a couple more questions about you before we get into the bulk of our episode. First off, your name, your username is Buzzer Bob. Obviously, you're a huge fan of a lot of game shows and stuff, but I'm pretty sure it goes like deeper than that. So, can you please tell us the origin of Buzzer Bob?
Absolutely, yeah. So you're exactly right. So the buzzer part of it does come from the love and fascination of game shows. I help run a site called Buzzer Blog, which is a, you know, I did it since I was in college. It's still going up today. Me and my three good friends, we write about game show news all around the world. We have a Discord server for that. We just nerd out about game shows. As I got older, I became more excited and interested in like the behind the scenes of game shows, like how production gets put together, how a game show gets pitched, what goes behind like the finances of a game show, the secrets. And I have a lot of little like fun stories that I can share offline with a lot of people. Oh, there's the site. There it is. Yeah. So we have like, we do reviews for game shows. Like sometimes we have breaking stories too, that we're the first ones to put out there in the entertainment world. So like Variety may be able to come back and quote us.
Culture Jeopardy not getting the best of reviews from Buzzer Blog. 2.5.
Whoa.
Nice.
They could have done better things. Like if you look at the set, there's like at least three areas where the big Jeopardy words are on the set. And it's like, do you really need to have all that space take up by a logo? It's we really nitpick and look at the presentation, the host, the content, the games, all that stuff on and the host Colin Jost was great. I like Colin, but I think they stretched it a little too far, but not the worst show I've seen in the past. But my background, you know, I've been on a few game shows myself.
Which game shows?
So back in 2007, I was on a show called Chain Reaction. I don't know if some of you may know, on the Game Show Network.
Yes.
My friends and I went down to New York City for a day and lost. That was fun.
Cool.
And then in 2016, I was on the $100,000 Pyramid with Michael Strahan. So that was a lot of fun.
That's
so
cool.
So I got to talk with Michael after the show. I'm a New York Giants fan, even though we've been dog water for the past, 8 years. But
Chicago Blackhawks fan right here. Less than eight years, I guess. But right there with you.
And then I'm trying out for new shows. I've even, I know I can't talk a lot about this, but I've even helped like create shows, and it's been floating around for a potential possible acquisition maybe. So it'd be nice to have a TV show with my name on it. I think that'd be pretty sweet to see. I love a lot of UK TV shows. I watch a lot of like UK panel shows, comedy shows. I'm a big Taskmaster fan. That's coming back, I think, this week. So please check that out. But yeah, I know things that people don't want to hear about game shows and secrets. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
I want to know all of those things.
Zoinks loves a secret.
Well, yeah, and game shows, to be fair. I was one of the similar. I grew up on Game Show Network. Like, I loved it. I would that was my after school television. I would sit down when I was like in high school, I guess, because that's when we had satellite TV. But anyway, I did love some Game Show Network. Okay, Bridget, if you could go on one game show and compete, which one would it be?
I don't think I'd be very good, but Price is Right.
Nice.
With Bob Barker.
Okay. Good option. Good option.
I do love Drew Carey. I do.
Sure.
But the nostalgia that is like, I feel like I didn't watch game shows after school. I like watched game shows with like my grandma. And we'd watch The Price is Right and Family Feud when it wasn't, when it was more family friendly.
Ah, yes. That's fair.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah.
Bob, how about you?
I know you've been on
a few of them. That would be so fun. All right.
It's a good comfort show. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Good answer. Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good twist chat. Good twist chat. Bob, how about you?
If I could go on, I always wanted to do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I've been to the tapings of the show in New York City many times. one of the coolest things I've seen was seeing somebody win $250,000 like in front of me. It was like the coolest experience I've seen.
That's awesome.
It was like so cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think millionaire would be fun. And then I always wanted to do what's the show? I want to do The Floor. It's one of the more recent shows, yeah. And I want to do like Pokemon as my category,
okay.
And just be naming Pokemon on a giant screen.
That's such a good category. Okay, yeah. So I got a lot of thoughts on The Floor, honestly.
Well, me too. Me too. Don't worry.
This is so funny. For any listeners who don't know what The Floor is, it's hosted.
I don't know what The Floor
is.
Oh,
my goodness. Oh, what's his name? He's the Parks and Rec guy. I should know his name. Bob, do you remember
the name? I know when you're talking about Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe, yeah. Thank you. It's Rob Lowe's show and clearly his idea. You can tell. But essentially, you have, I think, around 50 contestants and they have a spot on the floor and everybody gets to go into the game with a category. You can pick what the category is and you get to challenge people like kind of orthogonally near you or maybe diagonally too, who are just, and you get to challenge them, I think, in their category. So let's say Bob was standing beside me and he was Pokemon, I would challenge Bob and he would be Pokemon. Then we would go back and forth on the stage and there would just be pictures thrown up there. We would just need to name them in a certain amount of time and we go back and forth until one of us can't. But the person who loses gets kicked off and the other person takes over their space of the floor, like a la Risk. Or something, like the board game. And it is very fun. My favorite part, and this was a bit on another comedy podcast I was listening to that was talking about this game, but it was so true, is Rob Lowe, the entire time, I only watched the first season, to be totally fair, but every time he's like, all right, well, a really common strategy is that you want to try to play it more defensive and not take as many squares, and like... common strategy in this game that you just made up, Rob Lowe? Like, what do you mean? This is the first time this has ever happened. Like, it is so funny. The game is wild. There was some very funny things. SNL's done a really good spiff.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It was really, really funny. It was a case of well, a young gentleman not really able to name any Black singers. was very, very funny. Yep. And it was oof, definitely. But yeah, The Floor would be good. My game show, I actually think I would be so good at Pyramid. I think Pyramid would be my game. I know, Bob, I know you've already gotten the chance to do it, so maybe you would beat me out to it. But I do think, like, I've always been good at those kind of games, like Taboo and stuff, like where I have to get you to guess a word. I've always been very good at those games. So I'm like, that's my game. So I'd love him. Okay.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's like Bridget, I would say, you know, I grew up watching the Barker episodes of Price is Right. And I'm a big, you know, I'm a big Drew Carey fan. Drew has his own style that I like how he does some things. And Bob, you know, he knew how to create tension as well. And they both have their own styles to it. So,
yeah,
but, I have stories about that too, which I'll save off stream.
Those are for Overdunk After Dark, okay? Yeah.
Yeah, After Dark.
After Dunk Dark.
Dunk Dark. Where the sausage gets made. Okay, no, so Bridget, any more questions about Bob for Bob before we jump into talking about what's going on at Unite lately?
I don't think so. This has been so fun, though. I've loved, like, learning more about like the game show scene in general and just, like, what you've been doing with Unite broadcast. It's really cool.
Yeah.
For our video viewers, I have a Plinko board behind me I got from Target for $100.
Not Target.
Sorry, Costco. Costco.
Nice.
Sorry. So okay. They have giant Plinko boards, so feel free to
Oh, that's recent. Okay.
It's recent, yeah.
Yeah, fresh off the flat. Go get one. That's awesome. Okay, well, before we even jump into what's going on in the game, let's just get our, you know, the classic Unite questions. Let's run you through the gauntlet here, Bob. So, not exactly rapid fire, but maybe a little. Pokemon that you want to see added in to Unite.
Ooh, I do want to see a Arcanine.
I like Arcanine. That's a fun option. That feels because like it's coming, right? At some
point. You have the evolution tree from Growlithe to Arcanine, and I think Arcanine would be fun to play. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Absolutely an all-rounder. No question in my mind that that's what that Pokemon will be.
Yeah.
That's called safe money, folks. Okay, fair. If the map changed tomorrow, what would you want the new legendary big Pokemon in the middle at 2 minutes to be?
love to see. I'd love to see Arceus in the middle. I think that'd be fun. Okay. I think you could have some fun with some of the abilities of Arceus. Think of it. You have that godly showdown at like the final 2 minutes. You got to take down Arceus, and then there might be some. Now, I think what would be cool about Arceus, because he's able to have all the types of Pokemon around him. Mm-hmm. Maybe his attacks have, it varies. Like, and I know like Rayquaza has a simple attacks, like, you know, with the wind and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe Arceus does like fire attacks and could burn somebody. Whoa. Could have some like lightning stun attacks possibly.
Okay.
So kind of play off that.
To do this to us.
Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you think you're gonna be able to see the health bar with all that going on?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, got you. Yeah, so Arceus potentially. You know, Namoose, no, Arceus is not coming. It is just, we're just asking, what, if Bob had their wish come true, what would they want? What Pokemon would they want there? That's a good one. Actually, I think it's the first time I've heard someone suggest Arceus. It's a lot of people suggest, like, Groudon, Kyogre, I think, are the two really common ones. I've been a big Giratina proponent for Essential Area Mine. Mm-hmm. How about you, Bridget? If we asked you for this one?
I don't really feel like super strong, I guess. Something like maybe unexpected would be cool, but I don't really know like what I would want other than like the popular choices, I guess.
Like Magearna.
Ooh.
Yeah, or maybe
that's like, I was just thinking of something unsuspected.
Like, yeah, like Eternatus hand form.
Whoa. Oh, can you imagine Master Hand comes in?
Yeah.
Your camera view turns to a two-dimensional Final Destination. And you're like, oh no. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I can
my
see
gosh.
It happen. Yeah, Eternatus is honestly a fun Pokemon to throw in the mix.
It is very cool. Rayquaza-like,
yeah.
But
well, my suggestion is Giratina, so I'm right there with
yeah.
you.
I think there's something there by with Eternatus and maybe bringing Dynamax elements into Unite. I don't know.
We got it a little bit. Cool. Hey, Pika Party's here. There's a big old Pikachu in the middle of it.
I would love big Pikachu in the middle.
Can you imagine? They just grab it from... That should be... Okay, you know how we brought Remote back for 2 weeks? That's what should happen.
Yes.
That's the only map change, is that in 2 minutes, it's just Gigantamax Pikachu in the middle.
Oh, that would bring me so much joy.
Actually, just change the whole middle. Add the surfing Pikachus that go around.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, that gives you the movement speed buff.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Gosh, that would be fun.
So
that's how we party. That's the true Pika party.
That would be good for me.
Cool.
Personally.
Okay, I like that one. And then, Bob, if you had to pick one team right now that you think is going to win the whole heckin' world championship, who's it going to be?
Oh, man, that is...
It's a BH3 esport. Let's go.
should I go back to BH3, possibly?
You could. I think they have a solid chance of qualifying out of Europe. It's a tough road. They're definitely, I would say, like the power-ranked number 4 team in that region, but there's only 3 of those teams going to Worlds, but it could they could do it.
Yeah. You know, it's...
If you want to just pick a region, I think that is totally fair. What region?
Pick a region.
We have NA, Japan so far. So
I was gonna say, yeah. You know what? I'm gonna stick with NA. I think this is NA's year.
It's coming home.
I think this is NA's year. For Worlds.
Okay, I like
it. I'm excited to see what the NA brings to the table and what they cook up. So that's my goal. Well, that's my wish, I would say.
Ah, I'm excited. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I will say if I had to pick a team, I think, and just seeing the performance at EUIC, Luminosity is just looking so good.
Uh-huh.
I think just watching their performance at EUIC, and yes, I know they want it, but I think just watching their journey shows that they are really well-rounded in coming into whatever meta is thrown at them, whatever team is thrown at them. They know how to communicate. They know how to play well together. They know how to adapt. So I think that is going to be a top contender. So that is that's who I'm looking at too as well.
That's a really great point. And honestly, it's a bit of a talking point going around right now that I was curious on your thoughts about it too, Bridget. So we're kind of entering power ranking season, you know? I gotta start putting names on a whiteboard and numbers beside them.
Yes, God.
Luminosity Gaming, they've won 2 in-person events. They've won They have tied for the most in-region wins as well. But two of those events they didn't participate in also. Another caveat there. But they get fourth place at the Asia Champions League. Third place. They did play the qualifier. But a legendary run there as well. Should they be number one in the power rankings right now?
I think yes. Okay. Especially with, like, I feel like the only teams that could, like, contend with them, at least on, like, track record for this year, is, like, Insomnia, who obviously, like, you know, ultimately, like, beat them out at ACL.
Right.
But Insomnia is just such a newer team that it's kind of hard to predict how they're going to play into, like, the rest of the world, whereas LG has kind of proven they can play in any region this year with this team and be that high quality. And to my knowledge, Fennel isn't playing anymore. Like, I don't really... So, like, our kind of, like, reigning world champs aren't really, like, a contender even, like... Or I don't know what's going on necessarily, I guess I should say. But they haven't really, like, proven themselves. We don't know what's going on. And then even, like, runner-ups, like, Korea, they were FN. I think they parted ways with FN. I saw them post about that. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really have a good showing at ACL either. So it's kind of, in my eyes, I don't really feel like you could give it to anyone else, especially looking at the collective from the year so far.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think LG holds the number one spot worldwide still right now, even with a fourth place finish at ACL. I just think consistency is so crazy. Landhand's talking in our chat saying that LG's podiumed at every LAN this year. So, which is kind of cool to see, right? That is a
really nasty
really
work.
Good track record. But,
yep.
But we're talking about Worlds a little bit because we now have our eighth team qualified to the World Championships. Obviously, we already know Luminosity Gaming and Insomnia and Litian Dream Factory qualifying within the China Masters Championships. And Team TC and Jintu also all qualifying via those same champions. Those were worth championship points, I guess, but still qualified. SAUL qualified, Talon qualified. We've already talked about all those teams, but add Paper X to the squad. They were able to win the Malaysia Championship, Yemu, Solo, HT, Rebunks, and Yang. No roster changes since the Asia Champions League. And they also dominated. I watched some of that broadcast. They didn't drop a single map in their top eight. It was not particularly close. Paper X was running it. they had a great tournament. They're looking really strong. I think obviously it'd be a bit of a surprise to not see Paper X there, so I'm happy they're coming back. Tough performance for them at ACL. Well, kind of. They still made day two. They made it out of the group stage, out of a very difficult group. Had a tough bracket run. So I'm excited to see what they can do at Worlds, because obviously they made day two at Worlds last year. It'd be fun to have them in the mix.
Yeah, I was super excited to see them do well. I mean, obviously, like we were just saying about FN, it hasn't really worked out with, like, everyone's sponsors, I feel like, from these ACL leagues. So
right.
Cool to see that Paper X is still, like, repping them. They seem like a really cool org. I'm not just saying that because of their really cool jerseys. But
little.
That is a big part of it for
me. The flare is nice. I've seen photos. The flare is nice.
Yeah, they're kind of, they seem cool. Like, that's really my only vibe on that. But I also just like to see players, like, be sponsored still and have it work out well for them. So,
yeah. Agreed.
Excited for them.
I don't know if it was during the podcast or after the podcast, Bridget. Maybe after. But we were talking, and I actually watched Paper X's vlog of the Asia Champions League.
Oh,
so if anyone's curious on that, it's actually a really fun watch. But that exact talking point about their jerseys from the English co-stream was in that vlog.
Because
mentioning some adage about, like, they were, like, Paper X, I think, was in a tough spot in the tournament. I was talking about, I was like, all right, well, they've, like, played together a lot. They can rely on each other, blah, blah, blah. Deuce next went, well, at the very least, they've won the jersey game by a mile. And we were all like,
oh my God, they loved that.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. It's good branding. The jerseys, they look clean. They look really nice. And they gave Dupes next one. So they knew they were getting Dupes next as love.
They got a fan.
It was awesome. I think they actually got a couple of jersey exchanges. I saw. I think they just got a Zeta jersey of their own swapped. It was kind of cool. But cool to see. But all right, well, another team qualifies for Worlds. That is going to be happening a little bit more kind of each weekend with all these different Asia Pacific tournaments. Not every single weekend, but a little more spaced out. But they're all happening very soon. We've all seen a lot of visa stuff when it comes to the World Championships every single year. So I think a lot of these organizers trying to make these events happen as soon as realistically possible just to give teams the best chance of getting a visa in time to participate in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. So happy that that is happening, and I hope it works out for all the teams because a full house is a really fun one. Okay, let's talk about the big news of the week, and what has been on the title on the screen this entire time is a brand new patch. We got, Bob, I don't know if you feel the same way. We've talked about it on the podcast. Thank goodness the days of naming patches 1.2 point who cares are gone.
Yes.
We are in the breath of evolution. I don't know what that exactly means. Honestly,
it's minty. It's minty breath. That's what it is.
They all evolve their three-stage evolution.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. And then I guess Hyper Beam and Dragon Breath, like, you know, two, I want to say mouth fighting Pokemon. That feels incorrect.
Yeah. No, they all like push things out of their mouth.
Yeah, well, specifically Dragon Bolt and Dragonite. Venusaur, a lot of pushing out of his leaves.
Yeah, you're right. Not Venu.
Yeah. Well, we'll debate that later. Okay, let's get into the update. Not too many in the way of, like, new things added in terms of shop updates, bug fixes, or anything like that. So let's just jump right into the Pokemon changes. First and foremost, we got Dragapult getting changed with a little bit of a higher scaling HP into the late game, where it used to top out at 5,500, is now topping out at 6,000 total HP. That's, of course, at level 15. And Dragon Dance and Phantom Force, both getting a small but decent buff. Dragon Dance, of course, moving down in cooldown from 12 seconds to 11 seconds. And Phantom Force, the stacks you get after every knockout, going from 6 to 8. So effectively going from, oh gosh, it's always math that it ruins me. 60 total attack maximum to 80 total additional attack. Yeah, a pretty strong change to Dragapult. I feel like the Phantom Force change a little bit better. Dragon Dance, if you're having to wait for the full cooldown, it's not really working the way you want it to anyways. Seeing as Dragon Dance's whole thing is if you get a knockout while using it, it immediately resets the cooldown. So, you know, maybe a 1 second change won't actually have that big of an impact. But anyway, what do we think of the Dragapult changes? Bob, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, Dragapult has always been one of those mons where, like, it always just, you know, did fine for me. Like, if I had someone with a Dragapult on my team, I'm like, okay, I feel like, you know, going to the jungle, I feel pretty good about it. You know, level up and start getting to those team fights and firing their little cute little dreepies from their from the top. But you're right, the Dragon Dance cooldown, I mean, it is what it is, but like you said, if you're playing Dragapult the way it's intended, that cooldown should not even worry you. I think the Phantom Force attack increase does give it a little bit more power to it, which is nice, especially with the new items that we have attaching to it. So I think those attacks and those team fights are going to be really crucial now, and I think Dragapult showing some love as a attacker that has more power to it feels good. And I think it's, like I said, it's been a decent mod from whatever ever I remember it for. So
yeah,
I'm happy to see a little update there for it.
Yeah, me too. How about you, Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, are the speedster changes in this one, or is that
they are, they're like at the bottom board. They're
bottom. Okay, we can jump the straight to the top.
We can jump straight to them after this change if we want to, but
I don't feel like this did a lot for Dragapult, but the speedster changes in general just made everything attacker, squishy, even tanks more viable. So to me, this is kind of like not really gonna move Dragapult up any kind of tier list for me, but it is definitely a mon that needs help, and I think it probably needs more help than this, but
yeah.
We'll see. I don't think I've really seen it much, if I'm being honest, so far. I'll change my mind.
I think these changes, one thing that will come from it, and we're going to talk about that in a few points in this patch, actually. So I actually think ranked ladder, this Pokemon will be performing a lot better after these changes, which there were some more controversial takes on that a little bit later in this patch, in these patch notes. But I do think Dragapult will have a, you know, you feel less bad about picking this Pokemon now. Obviously, Dragapult's going to kind of stay in that snowball category. It's a late stage evolution Pokemon, so it already has that as a bit of its nature. And Phantiforce just being one of those permanent stacking moves means that, yeah, if the game goes well for you, it's going great. But if it doesn't, well, a little bit tougher. So
exactly.
Yeah, I like this. I think the Phantiforce buff will become relevant in some final fights, which I'm hoping will be big moves for Dragapult. You mentioned it, Bridget. I think we honestly should just jump to the big news of this patch. It's the first one. Removal of defense penetration stats from speedsters. So I'm just going to read exactly from the patch notes. The defense penetration and special defense penetration stats, which were added to clarify the role of speedsters, are being removed in this update. These stats gave speedsters too much influence and disrupted game balance. Future role-defining mechanics will continue to be evaluated using seasonal battle data. Okay, we are just rolling it back. Tried it, didn't work, and well, maybe actually the opposite. Maybe it worked too well. We're completely removing defense penetration stats. The Cinderace ones that were accidental were, it was a bug fix and was already corrected. But either way, interesting. I will be the first one to speak on this. I hate roll-wide passives. I always have in any kind of MOBA game or team shooters or where I found them before. When Overwatch 2 came out, that was one of the first big changes they did, was all of the classes, like tanks, healers, and damage dealers all had like roll wides. And I was like, these are terrible because it doesn't do what you would want, in my opinion. It basically will just hard cut out a couple of people that use the best of the best, and it's too strong. Anyway, I am not a huge fan of them. I'm sure if they were toned down a little bit more, it'd probably be fine. But first test didn't go well. So that's all my thoughts on it. Bridget, I know you weren't in love with the speedster meta. So how are you feeling with this change?
Fine. Like, I feel like at first we were all kind of like, okay, something different, you know, because it was feeling pretty
true.
Consistent there for a while with the Maridon, Suicune, Mewtwo moment. So I didn't like hate it at first. I just wasn't playing a lot during this time. It wasn't necessarily because of the patch. It just, I just had other stuff going on. So I just didn't play it very much. So I'm maybe not a good judge of it. From a, I was still watching a lot of Unite. From a viewer perspective, very fun, very silly.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was just, then this became redundant. It was just like, okay, like, are we gonna have two speedsters on the other team or three? Like, it just like, we get it. Aww. So yeah, I like that they tried this. It was just, and then kind of what you were saying, Zoinks, like, I feel like they were trying to get this rolled out to all the other speedsters, and it was like, girl, if we do that, like, this is gonna be bad. It's already bad. So
you give Dodrio this stat, like, oh my god.
Yeah, over. And Zoro, like, they knew, obviously, since it didn't, I feel like, make it that far. But agree with you, Zoinks, that maybe that was what they were like trying to do, was make something roll out for everyone. And I mean, I'm not mad. I'm glad it didn't get further, I guess, than it could have been. So I like that they tried it. I like that they, rectified it. So I don't know. Not the worst time for me.
Okay. Okay. Cool. How about you, Bob?
Yeah, I think you mentioned something that I was not happy with, that it was just a blanket effect across one type of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the issue, because team compositions really just, to what Bridget just said, hey, how many speedsters can we fit into this comp?
Realistically. Yeah.
Literally.
And it just wasn't as appealing to me as someone who, I find those 45-ish seconds when you're building a team to be really exciting, because you're trying to struggle. Oh, not struggle. You could struggle.
No, sometimes, but you do.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes. But like, you're really trying to, you know, find the right puzzle piece to your team composition, and just saying, hey, here are the OP mons, go have fun, I wish there was a different way they could have tested this, and I'm kind of glad they rolled it back because they looked at the data, they see that, you know, it just broke the game at, you know, at many points during people's run in the season. Mm-hmm. I think something like this, if they want to bring it back in the future, you know, you can easily bake this into some held items, that you can start attacking to upon some Pokemon. So they may introduce a new held item that has a certain percentage of the defense penetration that you can put onto a Speedster. That wouldn't be bad because that way now you have to strategically figure out what's my build going to be for a specific Pokemon, and it may not be as OP as a blanket effect across the entire roster of them. So I think we may see this back in the future in some form. I wouldn't be surprised if they look at it in a held item format for any Pokemon to have, and then you figure out that, oh, for Speedsters, maybe it makes sense for it, or maybe for a, you know, a high attacking Pokemon to put it on would be useful. So, but yeah, I'm kind of glad we're out of this meta because it wasn't fun just getting wrecked by Absols all the time.
Yeah. That Pokemon,
and it still is happening to me.
It still happens to Absol, like, definitely.
They're still good Pokemon. Yeah, even after this nerf. So let's get into some of the changes, because some of the speedsters had specific swaps, not just the defense penetration change. Gengar was just the defense penetration change. So we'll move on past Gengar. It was nice knowing you. You had your one tiny little moment in the limelight. Honestly, maybe you could keep it. Who cares?
I don't know. Did you see Flareons?
it is kind of nasty. It is kind of nasty.
Scaly.
Okay, Absol did get some changes. Thank you, Asia Champions League, for proving that this Pokemon needed some changes. Defense penetration removed, of course. Also, Night Slash going from a 5 second to a 5.5 second cooldown. Okay. And the Psycho Cut bonus damage from 17% down to 9%. I do like the Psycho Cut change. Absol, for a while, has been one of the best speedsters in the game at being an assassin and deleting squishy targets, but also being one of the best speedsters at tank busting. Because of Psycho Cut, right? Like, it is crazy good at cutting down up. Well, Blastoise is a tough example. That one might be a little stronger. But even something like a Snorlax or like a Trevenant, Absol is a really good speedster answer into those Pokemon because you land a Psycho Cut, you get one nice solid pursuit, and then you just Unite move it, and you can delete basically any tank. It's a cool build. It just, I think, was getting a little too strong. So I like that it's getting taken down a little bit. This Pokemon is still good. Don't worry. I know numbers have went down. This Pokemon is still going to be a absolute force of destruction. The disaster Pokemon title has never been more true with this one. Very, very good, Mon. Bob, thoughts on Absol changes?
Oh, yeah. It's still ripping me apart.
Uh-huh.
It's still doing it. And like you said, it is... You know, you think you have a team with pretty solid, bulky defense, and then you see an Absol coming at you, and you're like, well, I guess I just get knocked out here and go back to the Pokemon Center and have a good time. So, and yeah, that cooldown from 5, increase from 5 to 5.5, it's nothing. It's like, it's like, you know, a sprinkle of, it's a checkbox off of a list of things they wanted to do for this Pokemon. Mm-hmm. It's not going to affect it as much, but yeah, it's still a menace. Probably, I would say... one of the best speedsters out there for this season right now. So you're probably going to see an Absol on many, many teams as you climb because it is just that good. It is so frightening when you just see one appear just coming from your jungle. You're like, well, that's it.
Yeah. I can't get back to my goal zone fast enough. And if I do, I don't even know if I can live. So we'll see what happens. Bridget, I know you were saying it's still still pretty scary out there for the Absol opponents, I guess.
Yeah, the ops are still not happy, but we'll take it.
it's a cool book. It's really fun to watch competitively. Yeah, we'll probably see another host of Absol nerfs at some point. Honestly, the thing is, if it's stronger than Leafeon, that's going to be a problem for these developers. They're going to need to correct that. They're going to need to make sure that Leafeon gets some kind of buff. All right. Zeraora, another, like, one of the highest pick rate Pokemon by far in our last monthly tournament, with the encounter rate stat being 100% in some regions, and I don't think ever dipping below 95% in any region, alongside, of course, Suicune. Zeraora getting the defense penetration removed. I went all the way up to 80 on Zeraora, by the way. It, like, scaled even higher on Zera than some of these other Pokemon, for who knows why.
Weird champ? What the heck?
It did. No longer.
Interesting. Me only realizing it now and every professional player realizing it before the journey's happened.
Also, Nick Sakura saying in our Twitch chat that the Pursuit Sucker Punch build on Absol, it's actually my preferred way to play. Absol, by the way, is also crazy strong. So, like, this is only nerfing, like, one theoretical moveset, as a reminder. I think Pursuit Psycho Cut was, like, my favorite way to play. But either way, Zeraora getting some very fair nerfs. I am so happy that Pokemon is going down. It was fun. Actually, am I happy about it? Because Zeraora is a fun Pokemon to have in the metagame. You get to see some really, like, you know, crazy plays, like Volt Switch lassos and stuff like that. It's kind of wild that, by the way, to pull that combo off is so ridiculous. Like, I think it was Spraggles that said it one time. Yeah, you have to land, like, you have to time it with the boosted auto at the exact moment. Like, Spraggles was talking about it, I think, at EUIC with me, and he's like, if that Pokemon was released today, it would be a sure hit pull from, like, across the map. But, like, because it's a release Pokemon, you gotta, like, hit two, get a boosted auto, have Discharge out, land it with the Volt Switch. Like,
it is so silly, but this is why, as a viewer, this was fun, because it was very funny seeing that combo get hit and this mon just, like, scooch, like, across the whole screen. It was so funny.
Yeah, it is hilarious, but does get a slight nerf to the damage of Discharge from, it did scale of 17% of its total attack, now it is scaling off of 10% of its total attack, and then the shield that it receives is going down by 10%. I actually think the shield change is the more relevant change for this Pokemon. That moving down, Zeraora's got that whole, like, built, his passive is basically a weakness policy. In, like, a Zeraora takes damage, he dishes more damage. So Zeraora kind of being one of the few speedsters that wants to brawl, that shield lowering makes that harder to do, which I think is really cool. So, big fan of that change on Zeraora. Any more thoughts on our nerfed speedsters?
About time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, part of me is like, well, Zeraora's never been meta. So it was cool to have Zeraora meta for just, like, a minute even.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think it was actually, like, a good amount. It wasn't, maybe it was, like, a little too long, but
yeah,
I feel like we've been in worse for longer.
Yeah, I think where I'm coming at it from, it's like, it's not even length of time. It was just how, like, 98% encounter rate in NA, like, come on. Are we really, like, that is too high of a number. Like, it's bander picked every single game. Like, that's too much. Zeraora, you just had to play your cards better. Could have had you a world. We might still see some Zeraora play. Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's get back into the mix. So those were the speedster changes. There is another speedster touched, but we're gonna get to them a little bit later. Finally, Glareon Rapidash. Maybe relevant? Probably not. Okay, Dragonite. Hyper Beam gets a full second cooldown buff. Pretty nice. And Outrage is getting an attack speed increase buff from 30% up to 35%. I love some of these things. Despite having powerful moves, Dragonite had low pick rates. To help highlight the strength of each move path, its main offensive abilities have been buffed. I love this. I am such a fan. I don't care if this Pokemon is already good. If it's not being touched, you know, tell the players to pick it. Tell them with the patch note. A 1 second change and a 5% increase to attack speed, that's not gonna change the whole world, but it will get people to go, like, oh, the Dragonite's got a green arrow on its icon right now, sure, I'll try Dragonite, you know, and you pick it up. I think that's really fun. So I am so in favor of changes like this, except sometimes they break the game, but that's a gamble I'm willing to take.
Worth it.
Exactly. Bridget, any Dragonite thoughts?
Honestly, I feel like overall this patch did a pretty good job of, like, actually buffing some things that needed it and vice versa on the nerfs. I'm going to forget something and it's going to pop up and I'm going to regret saying this, but I do feel like overall, I feel like we can all agree, like, okay, Dragonite needed it. Like,
yeah.
Venue kind of, well, even with the Speedster reversion, they, like, needed this, like, before that. You know, like, I think it's all very valid. We saw some Dragonite usage, but I don't think it was doing too hot, so.
It felt like more of a comfort pick when we saw it from top level players, right? It was like, all right, nothing's working. I used to play Dragonite really good. Let's try it.
Let's see if we can
knock out a Ray with a Hyper Beam, see what happens. We did see some Sweet Kiss outrage shenanigans with Comfey. That did happen, but
there you go.
I don't know if I want that.
It's a little inspired.
Yeah. Bob, do you play Dragonite? I know you play quite a few all-rounders. So is Dragonite in the lineup or no?
He is not, actually. I mean,
not
I
yet.
Like Dragonite.
How about this
not
change?
Yet, no. And I definitely want to, like, I mean, when I played Dragonite a few times, I think I did, like, a Outrage and maybe, was it, like, Extreme Speed at one point. Mm-hmm. I was doing, like, a build.
You could do really either with it now. I think both are.
I was going to say, you can probably still do, like, was it like Dragon Dance and Outrage or Extreme Speed Outrage. So that might be fun to do. I always liked Dragonite's Unite move. I think it was very, like, you know, fun to play to just, like, point on the map and just. It's always just a Dragonite just shows up out of nowhere when you try and rip something. Like, oh, there you are. Okay. just drop in. So I think, to Bridget's point, it makes people excited to just try it. Like, hey, you see a little green arrow there and you want to, like, check out this little guy, see what he's up to. So I'm excited to maybe go back to it because I love all rounders. It's just as the name applies, it's there to help out pretty much whenever, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Shakira there for that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
But yeah, I think I'm excited to try it out.
That was our first one of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Our first Shakira shout out.
Sausage count three. Oh. Shakira count one.
We got to up the shout out.
We got to work on this.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to play Dragonite. Random tangent about this Pokemon. If I were designing these gacha holowares that we have had in the game for a while, Dragonite is at the front of the list for me. Mm. For a, you know, insane, whatever, it's orange tier, even the crystal tier, whatever, holoware, because that Unite move, I want to see, like, a terrifying effect on the, like, the circle that shows up before Dragonite lands.
Oh,
like, I want to inspire fear into my enemies that I'm about to come and slam into the ground. Like, I think that would be so. Dragonite's already got some great holoware. Like, I think the boxing one's actually awesome. Like, when you get the knockout, it's like, ding, ding. Like, that's so good. I feel like that was one of the first holowares in the game. I was like, whoa, okay. Okay, they can do good stuff. So, yeah. I think Dragonite should be up there.
Someone in our chat said, Dragonite looks great with clothes on. Big cutie. Uh-huh. He does. He really...
Yeah. Okay.
I really actually like... I like his little sailor one, too.
Yeah.
I like the little, like, Christmas hat one where he's just, like, waving. He's just cute. Yeah. And I agree.
Dragonite is
Give
cute.
Him fancy clothes.
Mm-hmm. And also, you would get it, like, on Dratini, which would be so funny. It would be the best. Okay. Venusaur changed. Venusaur, Giga Drain, healing, going up by 10%. Uh-oh. And a Petal Dance, movement speed increase. Now just decaying less. So as soon as you cast Petal Dance, you go to a 90% movement speed increase. It used to decay all the way down to 9%. Now it only goes down to 27%. So two things will happen. You will stay faster. It'll feel like longer, but it's just like you'll be at a higher speed for longer, and then you will never slow down as much as you were. It's going to be more of a drastic fall off as soon as Petal Dance ends, but if anyone's played a decent amount of Venusaur, Petal Dance doesn't really end very often in the late game. You are constantly able to use that move, but I don't know. These changes feel really good. There have been many metas where Petal Drain Venu has been insane and kind of meta-defining. Like, I'm thinking... Old school, Bridget, you were a pro player at this time. The Eldegoss Venusaur lane, you remember? The days. You just Leaf Tornado in your Venu. UCS hadn't even started. TTV was barely a household name. Man,
yeah,
what a time.
Empty. Yeah, head empty. Oh, glory days. Yeah.
Except
good.
For that meta. I actually didn't like that meta, but I do
I
remember
loved
it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Leaf Tornado! Ugh, I miss her.
I would do so many things for a Leaf Tornado.
Please,
like,
come on.
I would delete Psyduck. I'm sorry. I know it means Bridget would never come on this show ever again.
Yeah,
I would delete Psyduck to have Leaf Tornado buffs at this point.
Okay, first of all, That is really offensive.
But, he has a headache.
Yeah. He said he has a headache. Why would you say that? I'm just going to upset him more. Sorry, now I just can't stop thinking about Elder God. This makes a lot of sense, but I must say I didn't really like pay attention to this, and I was playing earlier, and I was like, man, this petal Venu is really annoying, and now I know why.
He doesn't go away.
It's extra annoying. Yeah, I definitely noticed the healing and the pedaling.
Yeah, Bob, I think you were talking about this change a little bit before we started. So how are you feeling about Venu buffs?
This is the greatest news because I have been a I have been a Giga Petal stan since day one, season one of this Pokemon.
Wow.
I never got into Sludge Bomb. I never got into the Beam. Just wasn't my playstyle because I think first of all, I think Bulbasaur's boosted attack is a great secure still. More than the Razor Leaf that people think you should do, but no, use the boosted attack.
PSA.
Yeah.
PSA.
No, I love to your point, Zoinks, like when you get a good build on this Pokemon, you pretty much have unlimited petal dance. So you're zooming around the map, almost like having a float zone at one point. Like you're just moving around the map. And then when you play this build, you have to get in the middle of team fights, which I really do like to do with this with the sustainability. Now with the Giga Drain healing, you're just taking power away from your opponents. You're sucking it up back to you. You're living longer. You're moving around. I love to reposition when Petal Dance is up and running. Mm-hmm. Reposition, fire off my Unite or fire off the Giga Drain. It is a lot of fun to play. If I want to have fun, I'm playing this build. And Unite.
Okay. I like that. Dang. That sounds like a travel poster. If you want to have fun, play Petal Drain Venu. Or Giga Dance. How did we not go with Giga Dance? Why is the colloquial term Petal Drain? It should be Giga Dance, but whatever.
I like Giga Dance a lot more.
Yeah. All right. We're changing it.
That one's cuter. Yeah. All right. I'm glad we Giga Dance. Decided.
All right, Dunkheads, you've heard the good word. Now out into the streets. Go tell everyone from the rooftops. I don't know. I'm excited about this change. Bob, I have to admit, I'm kind of the opposite with you on Venusaur. Like, I love Sludge Beam. So. Yep. Seeing changes to this build, it's like, okay. But it's all right. Venusaur is one of those Pokemon that can kind of make a metagame on its own if it's good. Like, this is one of the few Pokemon in the game that I think really defines a death ball composition. You know what I mean? The good old, you press the button, you run at them. It is one of the few Pokemon that can kind of make that work, which is, it's cool. It's fun to see teams find a new strat like that and find a way to make it work optimally. You mentioned items a couple of times, though. That is the most fun part about this build. You can genuinely put Shell Bell, Drive Lens, and who cares what the third item is? Assault Vest? Doesn't
amp
matter.
On it. I put an amp on it.
Amp's probably the choice, right?
I do Rapid Fire Scarf. I do Rapid Fire Scarf for the Re-Evolution.
Okay. I like that. I think I would go three cool. I would go Shell Bell, Drive Lens, Energy Amp, and go all three cooldown items. God, sounds okay. Well, might as well play some Venusaur games after this. Okay.
You know what you're doing later.
I might be shifting it up. All right, let's move on to the next Pokemon. Galarian Rapidash. They're in the game? Yeah, they were recently added.
Yeah, what's that?
Except they were kind of removed thanks to some heavy nerfs. but
they're in the game.
Yeah, they're in the game, and Pikadiff beat me with this in Ladder the other day, so it's obviously pretty okay.
That is so funny, Dragon. Yeah.
No, he was actually doing pretty well. My team is fine. Galarian Rapidash, Pastel Veil, Psychic Gauge increase, Snarl going up by 43% faster. That is, of course, kind of the movement speed passive that it gains, and it gets the Hindrance Resistance Shield while it has it. Fairy Wind gets a base damage increase by 10%. It would need to be 70% for me to play that move. Smart Horn is hilarious. That is so funny that they spelt that name wrong. Damage going up by 30%. It's Smart Strike.
Smart Strike.
Sorry, I was like, what?
Smart Horn is so.
I got really confused.
It is, it's so mind-boggling taking a look at it.
It hurt.
It's so funny to me. Also, it got me thinking. I don't think we have a single Pokemon in the game that can learn a Horn Attack. Correct?
Ooh, no pre-Evos too, right?
I don't think anyone does.
Which is funny because it's like such an iconic early, like, you know, you're on Route 1 right at a hometown and someone's hitting you with a horn. Well, it's usually like Nidorino or somebody's, you know, that jerk. And then they poison you in a 1-in-4 chance. Never mind. Okay. Unite move. Triad Blitz. Energy required being decreased by 17%. Yeah, okay. I thought that was going to be the most relevant change. I got to admit, when I was reading through this patch note, I thought the Unite move increase was like, dang, you just like use that thing off cooldown, because basically all it is Mean Look. It might be pretty solid. I feel like it's not as strong. Its Unite move is still kind of awkward. You like lock a target in place and then you get dashes, but like the area isn't big enough to really feel like the dashes are kind of relevant. Like, it feels like a 1v1 Unite move, so team fights is harder to use. I do think the Smart Strike change, though, is big. I was, Spraggles was recently doing a stream where he was playing only Pokemon with above 50% win rate, like, move sets via Unite DB.
Oh, fun.
And the Smart Strike Dazzling Gleam is the only move set that went into the above 50% range after this buff. So, if you're playing this Pokemon, those are the moves you pick. You can pick Agility. It's fine. But I do think Smart Strike with the damage increase is actually pretty nice.
Nice.
Mm. Agreed. Yeah, I think, yeah, no one plays Fairy Wind. I do not recommend it. I do like the Smart Strike increase is nice. You know, it's a nice move to reposition and deal damage, which is always good to lock onto a target. And then you're right. Like, I can never get Triad Blitz to work. Yeah. Sometimes, like, I can lock an opponent in, but then I can get into the zone and do my dashes, but I'm always, like, outside of the zone. Right. So it's just a glorified Mean Look at that point. But I think with this Mon, yeah, you just stick with Dazzling Gleam and Smart Strike and then just stack with it, because you need the stacking items on this Pokemon, I would think. That's how I played it. But I don't know. I fell off the horse. I fell off the horse. I'm not too crazy about it.
Shout out, Shakira.
Shakira count too. But it's always fun to see it just zipping in and out into fights, because that's how you keep the gauge increased. So it's like it leaves and it comes back. It's like it's fun to watch. I'll admit.
Yeah,
I do kind of get a giggle out of that.
Yeah,
this is a Pokemon I really want to become meta as a commentator. Like, I think this would be a really fun Pokemon to be like, all right, where's the horse? Like, looking at the minimap at any given moment. Where's that thing running to? It's kind of like how you cast a Greedent game, right? Like, in a similar vein. But, yeah, man, Fairy Wind needs to be so much better. I mean, shout out to the girl. She can boots the house down, but you need some more firepower there. I do like the patch note saying after its ability was heavily nerfed in the previous update, Galarian Rapidash's influence in battles dropped significantly. You could say altogether if you wanted. This adjustment partially reverts those changes and boosts its offensive power. One thing before we get to Bridget, our chat let us know the thing about Rapidash's Unite move is that it can also be canceled. So it feels weird to use it, and that is correct. It is it's one of those moves that gets canceled an awkward amount of times. There's just like, if you don't have Pastel Veil up, even if you do, sometimes like there's like sometimes the enemy can like kind of dodge it and it's strange. A Pokemon that kind of suffers from the conditions around it sometimes. But Bridget, thoughts on Rapidash?
Definitely am glad to see it's getting some love after its heavy nerfs.
Yes.
Because I actually did really enjoy playing this.
It got a good report
obviously
card.
When it was, but yeah, we gave it a really good report card. We were having like a lot of fun, and
yeah,
I really
we were.
Like. I don't know. It's hard to say now. Like, after, like, what we've been through with, like, all the other speedsters, it feels like, I'm like, Rapidash was fine. Like, why didn't we do that?
Yeah.
We would have been fine. But really, I have no idea. But honestly, if we were going to do that to all the other speedsters, did we have to nerf Rapidash that much? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of sad it missed out on this, like, speedster meta so much. It's actually kind of such a shame, but glad it's getting some love. Yep. Don't think it's going to be too crazy by any means, but I hope she gets some more in the long run, because I feel like she deserves like an actual meta, but
agreed.
We'll see.
She deserved the world and a pony.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Okay. All right. Next Pokemon up. The big freaky bug. We got Buzzwole with a bunch of buffs, actually. Like they make you think it's getting another battle pass level of buffs, actually.
Right!
Beast boosts, gauge depletion delay. It now only starts moving down after 10 seconds instead of 5 seconds. So you can kind of farm to build your gauge a little bit better now. Boosted attack now heals 30%. That's like where he stops and kind of does that little double punch. Leech Life now grants hindrance resistance. I believe this is actually unstoppable, by the way.
Yeah.
It is
yep. Unstoppable. And Lunge has moved down from a 7.5 second cooldown to a 6.5 second cooldown. This is my favorite part because I am a Lunge enjoyer. Lunge Buzzwole is a razor claw machine, by the way.
Okay.
It is crazy. It is so fun. I love that build so much. I've been doing the bug set. I've been doing Lunge Leech Life a little bit recently. Like that Pokemon. Let's read the patch on here. Buzzwole excels in close combat. True. But its muscle gauge depleted too quickly. Well, after disengaging from battle. By delaying gauge depletion, it can return to the front line more effectively. Now, that is technically the truth. Pokemon's pretty solid. I have thoughts. I feel like the community sentiment at first was like, oh my god, this is insane. Where are the two of you at now? Bob, we'll start with you. Where are you at now with Buzzwole?
I've been playing it a lot more.
Okay.
I've been doing the Leech Life and Smackdown combo.
Okay.
I haven't tried Lunge yet, but because I love Smackdown because I can, you know, continue to throw my opponents into each other, which is always fun to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I can quickly pop my Leech Life onto that same target, so I can deal a lot of damage to one target and usually knock it out with that combo, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that I still see with Buzzwole is it can get knocked out pretty easily, and it's very slow. So I always have a hard time. Like, if I miss my Leech Life, I'm in trouble, because if I can't time that and get close to an opponent and they get out, like they pop a X speed or eject button or just any move,
mm-hmm.
I'm in trouble because I'm a sitting duck and he's squishy. Like, he's a squishy bug. Like, you take your sandal and just go whack, whack, whack with it on top of it. So that's the only downside. But it's a lot of fun just to, you know, throw them around and drain their life force with your giant nose.
He's not very squishy when he's sucking all the HP out of my Pokemon.
That's true, but that's you're exactly right.
You gotta land it. I see.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
If you miss it, then you're kind of in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. For sure. Bridget, where are you at?
I did play against a Leech Life Buzzwole in my small gaming sesh I had before the podcast.
I was not shocked. It's very popular right now.
Not having fun. Did not enjoy that. Okay. It just seems so invasive. Like, get off of me. Like, don't touch me. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Not even in game. Don't touch me. Hate it.
Okay.
So, other than the fact that they lied, it is unstoppable.
Yeah. Well, they also called it Smart Horn. So listen.
We can't expect perfection here. It really, like, it is annoying. I feel like most of all to me, at least from a Leech Life perspective, Lunge, I'm kind of with you, Zoinks. I think Lunge is, although like maybe probably objectively less fun, unless you're like counting your Razor Claw procs like Zoinks.
Pushes glasses further up nose.
It's maybe the less fun build, as Bob was kind of saying. But it is kind of like cool. And I think, I don't know, I guess if you're in certain situations where you prefer the mobility over just like the hindrance almost, I guess, of Smackdown, like, I do think it offers up like kind of something different for Buzzwole than we've seen before. Leech Life, I don't know, I guess, viability wise, but I sure don't like it. So.
All right. Well, okay. First off, sorry, I love Razor Claw, but second.
Yeah, you should apologize.
I think the changes to this Pokemon are very relevant. However, I think the Leech Life Lunge changes, while they're good, I genuinely think that moveset is a pub stomper moveset. I think you get into any, you start playing against trios, they're just a boy. It feels a little Gudra-y to me, you know what I mean? Which we'll talk about in a minute, but or a little bit like, you know, Dragapult in that situation. But I think Buzzwole, that moveset, great. I think the boosted attack and the beast boost changes are going to be even better for this Pokemon competitively. In terms of viability, I think Buzzwole was everywhere for a long time. We were stuck in the Buzzwole meta for top laners. I think it has changed a little bit because it was really good in Zacian, right? Like that was, it was the one top laner that felt like it kind of contend. I think we are going to be headed back in a major way. I think Buzzwole is going to skyrocket to the top of usage in terms of top laners going into tournaments coming up. I think Buzzwole is going to be very, very strong. That boosted attack healing is really, really nice. And that beast boost speed is just, oh, it's awesome. Yeah, we talk about Buzzwole being slow. He sure is until he kills something. And then, you know, he's zooming. So
then he's zooming.
But I even despite the changes to Leech Life and Lunge, I think you're still going with the Smackdown and Superpower moveset. I think Superpower is just simply too broken of a move to pick it over Leech Life, and Smackdown's versatility is too strong compared for a slight dash that does some really cool Razor Claw things. So I think, cool changes to Leech Life and Lunge for the solo queue ranked experience, aka my gameplay experience. But
I think overall,
if this is your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast, keep playing the other moveset. All right. All right, a few nerfs. Tanks, getting a slight slap on the wrist. Trevenant and Gudra, in particular. We'll probably hit both these together, because honestly, I don't think the Trevenant changes are too crazy. Trevenant, Woodhammer, damage getting decreased. Curse, damage decrease. And the Horn Leech throw gets a 0.25 second decrease. Trevenant did really well at ACL, and it got its moves. That's not the patch note, but it kind of feels like it is. Tree, a solid tank, has been for a long time. Get the slight nerf. Whatever. It's not even the best tank right now. These changes, I feel like, are more relevant when we move down to Gudra a little bit. But essentially, my thought on this Trevenant nerf, coming from a person who plays a ton of Trevenant, is I think this is a step in Unite being like, we do not want defenders to be damage carries ever again. Kind of what it feels like they're doing. Like, these Trevenant changes, especially hitting Curse and Horn Leech in particular, when Hammer damage, who really cares? But Curse and Horn Leech, like, they're like, we want to stop this, like, Trevenant doesn't need the EXP share and can, like, carry. That feels like something they do not want to be involved anymore. Which, I'm not exactly against. I don't personally love metagames where the tanks are being used competitively. And that applies to all MOBAs. Listen, I had to live through a year of League of Legends playing tanks top lane for so long. It was awful. So, not a fan. Okay, let's get down to Gudra. Many of you would think, wow, there's probably a green arrow on that infographic. If you're listening in Audio Land, you would be wrong. Gudra, nerfed.
Get him.
Gudra. And we have to start with the patch note because there was a lot of talk about this, but for good reason. No, they did not call it Smart Horn in this patch. Instead, Gudra had high durability while dealing considerable damage. One of those facts is true, especially in the veteran to ultra ranks. Its offensive capabilities have been adjusted accordingly.
Listen.
Gudra... yes, listen. Bridget, please let us know.
As someone who started the season in veteran 5, I've been in these lobbies. People do not know that you have to walk away. They just don't know. And Gudra farms.
I know.
It's crazy. You are the Gudra expert though, Zoinks. But
nope,
I felt like
coming in to defend
ultra
this
lobby
group,
player.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
You're coming in to defend this group, and I might shock you. I'm with you. I agree. Like, I actually, people were talking about how this is like L Unite, like L developers, such a terrible choice, whatever. Gudra catching a stray, blah 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 blah. I think changes for the entire player base are not a bad thing, because obviously you have mentioned your teammates don't know how to play against it. I have people very close to me who I have introduced to the game of Unite, and people who are very good at video games. Like, I don't want to put names out there, but I have introduced other Pokemon Realm commentators to Unite, and they're very good at games. They're good at MOBAs, and they're like, dang, Gudra's broken. And my jaw hits the floor. So I'm like, what? But they're right. If you don't have knowledge of what Gudra can right. and is going to do, because it's not a hard playstyle to pull off, it is shockingly tough to manage. Like, it kind of goes against natural thought process too, right? You're like, well, I want to be in the tall grass so I can like avoid their auto attacks. I can be invisible or whatever. But like, actually, that's maybe the worst place you could be right now. It's like interesting. So like these Gudra changes, they're not that crazy to me that they're happening. Now, the changes, you know, they're not super heavy-handed. I don't know why we're hitting Muddy Water Acid Spray, but whatever. Yeah. We'll get to the rest of that in a minute. But, Bob, what do you think about just the patch note itself that we are balancing a Pokemon based on its veteran and ultra win rate?
Listen, I'm all for better education on the game to people, like, to understand what this character can do.
And to be clear, like, this patch is not doing that. Like, they're not saying that at all. No. They're just nerfing
it. It's not. But continue. Yeah, exactly. But it's to both of your point, even when I'm solo queuing, the amount of people who I just see think they can 1v1 a Gudra, I'm like, bro, just leave it alone and let it do its thing.
Yeah, like, don't even attack it. You'll
be
fine.
They don't know. It's like they're magnetic. They don't know.
Even early game, like, you're giving easy KOs if you think you can 1v1 a Goomy.
Yeah,
and Goomy's like, that's you cool. can. Yeah, it's like, you can't get rid of me that easily.
Well, I gotta stop you there. I don't think Goomy's got a single thought while they're playing.
They're just going, and they don't need
Goomy
to.
All day.
They don't need to. Why would they? Why would you have a thought if you're playing Goomy in the top lane?
Click bubble, go score, forehead. Like, that's all you
gotta do. Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Okay, Bob, I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off. Continue.
No. This is fine. I think what Gudra does is Gudra is a good distraction because, you know, if they want to have a Gudra just running off doing its own thing and it can magnetize some players to come and fight it, that just gives the team more opportunity to be like, you know, be distracted and they can take care of something else on the map there. Mm-hmm. So Gudra is almost like, I don't know what it is. It just attracts the worst in people to say, come at me, bro. Bring me on. I'm like,
it's like tantalizing. Like,
yeah. It is.
Not as like his happy little smile. Like, people just want to run at him. It's crazy.
And don't get me started. When I hear the Unite jingle, oh my goodness gracious. It's like, it always has like a twitch. I go, oh, I don't like that. Oh God, you can't take it down now. So
that's good. Yeah. You've learned. You understand that it's a warning from the heavens.
You really do.
I back off so easily on all this. Yeah. But honestly, I don't think it's gonna, like, I, you know, if I can play Gudra, it's fun just to be like the tank of the team and just like take down opponents. So, you know, I don't think it's gonna do more harm than good. I think people will still play Gudra, and it's just education on how to fight or not fight against this thing if you see it coming at you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. DJ Ola and Singh in our chat, it's got Teemo/singed aura. It kind of does. I agree. Like, this is a League of Legends talk a little bit, but basically of those characters have like kind of mini games that they try to put on the map that if you spend time trying to deal with them, they're wasting your time. And
Gudra
just does that by presence, right? Like, and let's face it, we're all talking high and mighty. We know how to play on Gudra. We've all been there where we're just like mindlessly farming damage into an enemy tank. Right? It doesn't
sometimes
have to be
Gudra. Just want to hit the goot. You just want to. Yeah. Sometimes you just want to. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any person listening to this podcast, I challenge you, walk past a punching bag, like just in your free time. I don't know if you're ever near one, but if you are, and just try not to hit it, you know? Try to hold yourself back from just doing a casual little poke to that punching bag. It's impossible.
Yep.
Okay? Gudra kind of presents the same problem. They say mental hoops you have to jump through.
Exactly.
But honestly, I feel like all of us do. Like, sometimes it's a Snorlax pushing forward. You're not going to do anything to that Snorlax. It'd be way better, actually, if you wheel aimed at that Pikachu behind it. But instead, we're just going to throw our abilities into Snorlax because, let's face it, I'm going to hit the Snorlax for sure. There's a chance I miss that Pikachu.
You and act like I have the wheel up.
Yeah, okay, well, get the wheel up.
But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, play on mobile. But anyway, yes, I think anyway, the philosophy around this Gudra change, I think, is hilarious. I am sad that it's hitting one of my most played Pokemon that it like that's where it lands. But I just I have to admit here, and I think we're all kind of in agreement, we all sort of get it. Like, why this is happening.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get into the actual changes, because I think that's where things get a little more crazy to me. First up, it actually gets a buff to its total HP, which I'm already back in. Okay? We're buffing its maximum HP.
For 1 second.
It used to... I'm so all in. All Gudra stonks to the moon. I'm not selling. I love the stock. 9,800 is where we topped out at Gudra before. Now we're into five-digit HP, baby. 10,300 at maximum HP on Gudra. Let's face it, no one's ever hitting level 15 on this Pokemon before the game ends. No. So never mind. No. Whatever.
I hope to God they're not.
Pray
for everyone in the lobby.
Yeah, in the veteran Gudra lobbies they are. It's fair. Yeah. Okay.
Wrong. They're not running EXP.
All right. Its boosted attack does get a damage decrease. The damage used to do a total bonus damage of 5% of your opponent's max HP. So just a little bit more shred taking out high HP targets. That's going from 5 to 3%. You're not going to notice it. Trust me. Maybe on like Rayquaza, but please, you're a tank. Stop. Everybody else can do that. Okay. Muddy Water and Acid Spray get the nerfs. 28% damage from what used to be the stat on Muddy Water down to 20%. Throw duration, another 0.25 second change to that one. Very similar to Trevenant in this way. I feel like the Noob Stomper build on Gudra is Power Whip Dragon Pulse, no? Like, if we're trying to make the veteran Ultra Lobbies better, why are we hitting the, like, you actually have to think Gudra build? I don't understand.
I wish we could see. I wish they, like, showed us, like, Gudra win rates for, like, Vet and Ultra.
Oh, yeah, you know specifically? What I mean? Yeah, I don't think I can sort that on API.
Yeah.
Maybe it's astronomical. Maybe this is, like, an a Delta level threat. Yeah. Like, it's, like, it's like 79% win rate. Anyway, we gotta do something.
Yeah, he's actually, like, a sleeper build, like, for these lobbies. Honestly, I would love that narrative. So I would just be like curious because truly, like, what's going on? Like, I surely don't know. And I would say most of the time people usually obviously like get to masters sooner rather than later. So it's just kind of interesting that the consistency of this problem. I don't know. I would love to know more if they ever want to tell me.
Yeah. Well, I'll get our people to ask their people. It'll be all right.
Perfect.
Awesome.
All right, Bob. How about you? Thoughts on the actual changes to Gudra?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to I want to see the numbers. I want to see the data. I think I'm on the same way too there. But no, I think.
You guys see the change and you're like, prove it.
Yeah, prove it. Yeah, sure.
Like, it does feel like, is this really? Maybe.
All right.
I think we'll still see Gudra out there causing havoc in games. I still think it's still going to be a solid pick for a tank on your team. So, especially as you get in higher up in the ranks. So I don't see anything drastically changing. I agree with you, Zoinks. I think having the five-digit HP now going into that next level just gives it more sustainability on top of that. So I don't think we've seen the last of this thing. It's still going to be out there causing chaos.
Ugh, that would make me so happy. Have played a lot of Gudra. All right, let's move down to another Pokemon. This Pokemon actually needed nerfs, unlike the last one. Suicune. It's passive getting fixed. It used to be stacking up to 3 times, now it stacks twice. Great. Boosted attack goes down by 50% damage. I actually think that's pretty relevant due to how long Suicune's boosted auto attack persists, right? It's a lot of steady damage, so having that reduced is pretty nice. Ice Beam now got a 1 second cooldown added to it. So it used to be at 6, now it's at 7. But Icy Wind getting a pretty huge buff. The Icicle Explosion damage getting up to 98%. So almost doubling the Icy Wind Explosion damage on those crystals. Personally, I'm a huge fan of this change. I don't love Surf, but I did like Icy Wind as a move quite a bit. So I thought it was really, really fun to pair those two together. Glad that's getting a change. But yeah, this Pokemon is still incredibly strong. Don't get it twisted. Suicune is going to be a very, very relevant Pokemon in any tournaments upcoming, even with these changes. IMO. How about you, Bob? What are you thinking?
Yep. Nope. It is still a menace out there. I don't know what its current pick rate is. I haven't looked at it, but I'm seeing it probably maybe like almost every other match. I see a Suicune in the going up against it because I've been on the receiving end of this. I played Suicune. I like Suicune still, but when you're on the receiving end and you just get frozen and you can't move, it's devastating, especially if it hits multiple team members and it just wipes you clean. So having this guy on your team, having someone else that can have some AoE abilities and just to deal heavy damage to your opponents, it's trouble. So the Whirlpools are always chasing me. I'm always stuck in them. I'm always getting wet. But Suicune, no, Suicune is still strong. I think we'll see a lot more of it heading into later in the seasons competitively. Still a strong Pokemon.
Yeah, big agree. Have you, Bridget, any more thoughts on Suicune?
Yeah, I feel like you guys nailed it. I am a bit of a Suicune enjoyer, but haven't played it since the changes, so definitely still down to try it out. I've been playing it as I play all my attackers, and now this weird all-rounder attacker. Light Bulb is equipped. So I'm just trying to hinder. I see nothing here about hindrancing downage. So
yep, no hindrancing downage. That's true.
Yep, exactly.
This Pokemon's so good. I love that it's flexible enough to fill into that role. I could play attacker, it could play brawly, but also support-wise, it's really cool. So big fan of Suicune, and it needs probably more nerfs, truthfully, but hey, we got two ban slots on both sides. Let's move down to the next Pokemon. Alolan Raichu, the final Pokemon. And probably our longest podcast a minute, by the way. That's fine.
Patch.
It's been fun. Big patch. And we're going to circle back to game shows, so don't worry. Okay.
Perfect.
Alolan Raichu. Now, listen, before all the, you know, they always nerf Pokemon right when they become free crowd comes out. Well, they buffed Galarian Rapidash and it's free. So there, take that.
Now you can go back and play it. Yeah. Anyway, because it also got nerfed.
Yeah, exactly. After whatever. Yeah,
it's all rounding out. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Alolan Raichu, a little pancake guy, a pancake enjoying Alolan Raichu that we were told by, I think Kello was talking about it in our YouTube comments, saying that the star is references to Pokedex entries from Sun and Moon. So there are some star related things, so maybe we were a little too heavy-handed on the criticism.
We were harsh.
Yeah, I mean, we had Sierra Dawn on the podcast, and like, I mean, she loves Pokemon, but she is honest about Pokemon that she loves or does not like. And so there was, but hey, Bridget, you were right there too. You were. I was defending Alolan Raichu.
Spearheading it, if I'm being honest. I'm like Googling it's.
I believe you were like, are Unites just shapes on the ground now? it's a fair criticism.
Someone may have said that. Who knows?
Fair criticism. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we go. Stored power, bonus damage going down from, is getting an 18% decrease. That is huge. Stored power by far the best part of this Pokemon's kit. Not close. So strong. Very happy to see that changing. Psychic also getting kind of a host of nerfs. The hit damage going down by 20%. The cooldown going up by 1.5 seconds. That is a very heavy-handed cooldown nerf, by the way. I was talking about how 0.25 seconds is not very long. 1.5 is a lot more than that. So if you just do the math there, it'll all come together. Psychic Plus also getting some nerfs too. Good to see they're following up with that. But anyway, shortly after its debut, when it's free, the combination of stored power and psychic proved too powerful, resulting in a high win rate. These moves have been adjusted accordingly. I love this change specifically. Like, obviously, this Pokemon needed some nerfs. It was a little too strong. But what I love about it is they didn't touch its, like, base stats or its Unite move or anything like that. They took a specific moveset that was performing extremely well, and they nerfed that. And they're like, okay, now let's see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're like, oh, this thing is so broken. Like they did with Galarian Rapidash. They're like, this thing is broken. Take it out in every way we possibly can. You know, fire everything kind of thing. Instead, they're like, all right, what's the best part of Alolan Raichu? Psychic Sword Power? Okay, bet. We'll reel that back a little bit. Now let's see what happens. Is this Unite too strong? Is all of a sudden Electro Ball too strong? Let's find out what that is. I don't think it is. Electro Ball is actually really fun, though. But anyway, I've ranted a lot about this Pokemon already. So, Bob, let's hear what you're thinking about Alolan Raichu at the moment.
Yeah, no. Storm Power and Psychic was just too OP. Like, it was the go-to moveset. Mm-hmm. I didn't even touch the two Thunder movesets at all with this Pokemon when it came out. Yeah. So, but I think keeping its base attack still the same is pretty good. I think Stored Power, 18% decrease, yeah, it does hurt, but it can still... I was playing it yesterday, actually. It can still hit pretty good with Stored Power. I definitely still see that. But Psychic is where I saw the downside, because you're being able to, like, use your Stored Power, then pop a Psychic, especially when you have a group of the opponents there. Mm-hmm. It was a nice combo, but, yeah, I think the 1.5 seconds, like, 1 second... Any more than 1 second is a lifetime, pretty much. I know I'm exaggerating there, but no. It does feel...
I'm so on board with this. I love it.
It does feel long, yeah. But this, I think what's good, I think this Pokemon is still viable. It's still a great Pokemon to play.
Yeah.
I think it opens the door for people to do the other movesets. Like, I think I've seen, was it maybe Stored Power and was it Thunder Wave? I think it's the other one they can use. I'm excited to try those out and mix and match. So I'm excited for more kits to come out for Alolan Raichu. I think it still has a strong showing in matches. So don't let these deter you from playing it. Make it motivate you to play different movesets with Raichu.
Oh, a call to action? I love that.
Yeah. Nice. I think it's a lot of fun still to play.
Cool. Yeah. Agree. Bridget, how about you?
So... I did Google Alolan Raichu's Pokedex entries.
Okay, research. Oh, breaking news. Your research.
I was ready to call Kello a liar, but I read the very last one. The Shield entry says, this Pokemon rides on its tail while it uses its psychic powers to levitate. It attacks with star-shaped thunderbolts. I kind of like it a little more now. I do.
Me too. Fine.
Does Galarian Rapidash have anything about triangles?
Yeah, no, we gotta resume.
That's my next question.
I think it's supposed to, it's more like a Delta reference, isn't it?
Oh, it's a triad?
I can see that.
Oh,
I can see that.
Yeah, wait,
or
hold
it's
on.
Called Triad Triage or something.
Triad Blitz. Okay.
Does that mean anything?
No, I don't know.
Does that mean anything to
listen, anyone? I don't trust any of the names in this patch, but yeah, Kello, what do you got for that one?
Even... Yeah, can we bring Kello for our one question?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll take that note and we'll get Alolan Raichu some extra credit. Maybe we'll adjust their grade.
Yeah,
we'll see how the. But
it's almost the end of the semester. Maybe we're feeling nice.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna have to issue our mid-year report card. I feel like.
Oh, midterms. Oh, yeah. Maybe we adjust the report card based on midterms for all the released Pokemon.
That would be kind of fun.
Okay. Well, I love that we're making up the rules as we go. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've never done that before.
Nope, never, not even once. Bridget, I think you've finally gotten the chance to play some Alolan Raichu, right?
I actually haven't played it yet. I only played for like an hour earlier, and I didn't set up its
guys, this episode's been super fun.
No, I'll play it, I swear. Good. And they nerfed it, but I'll play it. I did get kind of fricked by... What is the one, I haven't played it yet, obviously, so I don't fully know the moves. What is the one where it leaves, like, the electric orbs everywhere? Stored
Power?
Electro
Ball.
Oh, that's the Electro Ball. Mm-hmm. I was playing into a Raichu earlier who was playing that, and it was kind of getting me. It's obviously, like, a little gimmicky, but they're just, like, Sableye orbs. You just, like, put them in the grass, and... they walk into them.
You can't detonate them with damage, though, right? Like, that's the tough part. Like, a lot of mine-based characters in video games, they lay a mine, and if you shoot the mine, it blows up. But I don't think that's the case with Alolan Raichu. That would be okay. I have been pitching.
I haven't played it.
This episode needs to be longer, so let me just get this pitch in here real quick.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I have been pitching a held item, held item, heavy-duty boots into the game, because I want more tank items.
Oh, yeah.
Resonant Guard was really fun, but I do want some more tank or maybe even some support items, so I think it'd be a very fun, like, maybe you give it defense and special defense, kind of like how, what does that right now? Focus Band, I think? does defense. So it does both defenses, yes. Maybe. Anyway, doesn't really matter what its passive stats are, but any map-based condition or like conditions on the map, you just take a percentage less damage from them. So like Sableye orbs, Electro Ball from Alolan Raichu, Sludge Bomb from Venusaur, like anything that applies an effect onto the ground. Essentially, heavy duty boots allow you to reduce that damage. I'd be even down if it like nullified one instance of it or something, and then it went on cooldown or something. But I think that'd be kind of cool. Like you see Alolan Raichu on the other side of the draft screen. It's like, all right, Blissey, put on the boots. And they're like, you got it. And then every Electro, they're just like, ah! They just like run into them and blow them up. I think that'd be very fun. Or like it clears a stealth rock from like a Duraludon or a Crustle or something. You know what I mean? Like I think that would be. It'd be kind of fun. Maybe a little too broken. Maybe this item's a little too catch-all, but I'm, imagine if it just cleared Sludge Bomb. Venusaur, what the hell?
That would be amazing.
Like, it made my one...
You're brewing too much.
My wax wings are melting. Okay. Shout out Shakira. Okay.
Cooking too hard. That's how the sausage is made.
I think that brings us to the end of our discussion on the Breath of Evolution patch. I'm happy we ended on Alolan Raichu because if you're watching this one on Twitch or listening to it on Podcast Land, I do need you to make a quick jaunt over to the YouTube episode. Just go in for a second and post a comment below if you want a chance to win an Alolan Raichu code. Two people who comment, we're going to be giving away a license code. Thanks so much to the Pokemon Company for providing those for us. But yay. If you win, you get a chance to go play Alolan Raichu. Check it out for yourself. And all you need to do is just comment what your favorite change of the patch was, what your least favorite change of the patch was, or just comment and say hi to us. Either way. Anyway, just comment and say hi to us on YouTube. That'd be really cool. We're going to be giving a couple of licenses away. It'd be really fun. But yeah, anything else we want to end? I think we talked about some UCS stuff. We talked about the patch. We talked about game shows. Anything else we want to hit before we start closing up?
I feel like that was a trifecta.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Buzzer Bob, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. It was really fun to have you. I think when you and I were talking, Bob, you were like, hey, I love to yap. So just put me in front of a microphone. We'll be good to go. And you're in good company in this circle. So
guilty.
That is great. That is great.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. You know, I always want to be, you know, helping out as much as possible. I love what everyone does here for the game, and we love the game, we love talking about it, so yeah, happy to be here, and you know, bring on more game shows. I'm down for it.
Oh, heck yeah.
So
I mean,
true.
I constantly think about this, so yeah, we need to discuss for sure. But Bob, before we go, the stage is yours, so feel free to sell out, shout out, whatever you would like to do. Where can people find you on the internet, all that stuff, and if you got anything to plug, now's your shot.
Oh, great. I mean, yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitch, I do some streaming there, twitch.tv/BuzzerBob. If you search BuzzerBob in most social networks, you see me pop up there. I've been doing mostly Unite, and as well as doing some Pokemon TCG Pocket, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Pocket.
Yeah, I know. That's like a whole... I thought about it, and I was like, we can't go for another hour. But
we'll do it... We'll do it again later. But no, yeah, I've been doing a lot of Pocket Left. A little selfish plug here, if you don't mind. My
the
friends and
stage
I
it, is yours. It's
if not you selfish. if you love game shows or you just love people playing games, I've been doing this since 2010 with three friends of mine. We do the 24-hour game show marathon.
What?
It is every, I think it's June 6th to 7th. Wow, am I blanking on my own date right now? This is bad. I must be tired. No, sorry, June 7th to June 8th. Sorry, it's the first week of June.
Nice.
We play 24 game shows in 24 hours, all to raise money for Child's Play, which helps children in hospitals and shelters get through some difficult parts of their life through the cult, love of games, books, everything that they can take their mind off of some of the scary things of going through treatment and whatnot. So we are going to be on for 24 hours. GameshowMarathon.com is where you want to learn more. Watch the game shows, donate. It's a lot of fun, and we hope to see you there.
That's so sick.
Cute.
Can't wait. Oh, man, I'm actually genuinely so excited to watch that stream. That's gonna be a lot of fun. And for a great cause, which is so cool.
Yeah. Calendar.
Wow. Awesome. Well, make sure everybody go and tune into that show. That'll be awesome. What was that website? One more time, Bob.
GameshowMarathon.com.
All right. Very cool. Nice. Bridget, how about you? Anything to shout out before we get out of here?
I don't think so. The first part of regionals is this weekend, right?
That's true. Yeah. So the qualification for any of the teams that are not within the 12 top slots for championship points are going to be competing this weekend to try to qualify. Only four teams out of every region will be able to join their regional finals and the group stage and all that stuff. I believe Kyle is going to be doing a broadcast for the North American side of things. I think I'm helping out with that a little bit. I don't know. So you might be able to get to hear me add some commentary voice to that one alongside Kyle and that incredible crew he's got over there. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. Also, sure, it's going to be a banger underdunk stream this week, too. I don't think I'm working on that one, but if people want to. Yeah, we got a lot of shout-outs in the chat here at the end of the episode. This is great.
It's the last week of, like, the Engage series that That's Underdunk true. Has been doing with them. So it's over on Engage with an I.
Okay.
GG. Twitch.
That's right. Okay, yeah. So the Underdunk stream will be on the Engage with an I this week, not on Steel Agent Kyle's stream. But the qualification for NA will have some coverage over there on Kyle, and I'm sure other players will be streaming their POV and stuff. I think Muck's team is going to be playing in it, and, you know, Muck's always got a player POV going, so a couple of places to go and watch. And, of course, shout out Muck. Okay. Well, in terms of shout-outs for us, I already mentioned go over to YouTube and check out this episode. Make sure to drop a comment there for your chance to win an Alolan Raichu license. Make sure to follow Big Bridget on Twitter and at Unite Mics everywhere else. And then, of course, I'm at Zoinkscast. I'm hoping to do a little bit more streaming starting next week. Like I mentioned, we're in power ranking season, so it's regional VOD review time. Time to lock in, get set up. We got tournaments coming up. It's going to be awesome. It's truly, you like, Unite Esports fever pitch time, and I'm excited. So it's going to be cool. We'll see you all next episode, and we'll start doing our regional prep show. That's actually so crazy that that's already happening, but it's going to be fun.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. All right, we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.